Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. I think I might be a Korea enthusiast from now on because it sounds very much like Korea are kind of opening up for tourism. I mean, I don't know how you'd get there, whether it takes a hell of a lot longer than getting to Japan, but it sounds like Korea's definitely moving in that direction because they kind of have to. I think you spoke, I was going to say eloquently, I mean, it was literally a five-word tweet.
Eloquent.
Spoke on Twitter about how the record cheap and affordable yen, how kind of affordable and how low it is power-wise financially at the moment. They should open up the borders and let people spend a bit of yen and make it a thing. I didn't sort of realise that it was something like... In 2002 or 2004, Japan was just not a tourist place at all. It was something like, I think it was like 32,000 people, tourists, visited Japan.
No, it was more than that.
And yet...
It was more than that, but it was very low.
Anyway, it was very, very low anyway. But maybe I'm thinking of COVID, like 32,000 people visited as tourists. Very interesting how low the attendance was back in the day and suddenly going to, like, you know, 52 million people every year.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the exact numbers, but they were expecting like 30 million people, I think, after the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then they got zero. The tourism was bringing in something like $40, $50 billion into the economy before it all came to a close. So, you know, it was a really, really great thing for the Japanese economy. The fact they've still got the doors shut after 2 years, it's driving me mental at the moment. It's driving me absolutely berserk. But the yen is... pretty weak at the moment. I'm trying to get the figures up, like US dollars to yen, just so you get a rough idea why it's happened. So, yeah. For example, in... God, really? Has it gone up that much? Jesus. at the start of 2021, so about, 16 months ago, it was $1 was 100 yen. Now, yeah. $1 is about 128 yen. So that's a fair chunk of extra.
As high as it's gone in my memory, because I remember when I first went, I think it was like 130 or 128, and it never returned to that. Good God.
it hasn't been like this since something like 1990, like 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But of course, they can't reap the benefit of having a cheap yen because they're not letting tourists in still. And like, I just drive me mad. Like, as you know, I'm going back to the UK, or trying to, in May. Because of the whole Russia situation, we can't fly over Russia, so you have to go a different route. And I booked to go ANA direct from Tokyo to London, but it was going to be like 15 hours, so 3 to 4 hours longer. But that's fine. Direct, I didn't care. I was just going to get on the plane and fall asleep. Then I burst my eardrum, like you do. What an absolute dickhead. My right ear, I can't hear out of it. And I flew on a plane because I had to, back from Okinawa, after the video I'd made, after I'd burst my ear. And I thought it was going to be really bad. And it wasn't that bad because my eardrum had a hole in it. Yay! Which actually meant it relieved the pressure. So my ear, it wasn't very fun. It was a little bit painful, but it wasn't too bad. I went to the doctor yesterday and I was like, I want to fly to London in late May. And he was like, he looked at me as if I just said like a joke. He was like laughing. He's like, yeah, are you having a laugh? Because apparently my ear will heal in about 2 to 3 weeks, in theory.
Right.
And it'll be... the hole will go and I'll have an ear once again. It'll be great. But then my ear drum is going to be quite weak because it's just rehealed. And then I'm going to go on a plane. There's going to be lots of pressure.
Ooh.
And it could rupture. It could burst all over again, making things very painful and making the flight to the UK incredibly painful, miserable and unpleasant. I don't know if it's even... I don't know if it would be classed as dangerous, but... and then... So that I wasn't looking forward to that.
But like, could you not like jam a lot of wax in your ear or something?
Well,
like take the skin off a baby bell and just whack it in your ear.
Yeah, send me some British baby bell cheese over. Apparently, you can get like a thing you can put in your ear. Why can't I think of the word? What do you call a thing you put in your ear?
An earplug.
Earplug. There you go.
I don't know.
It's been a long day.
Right.
You can get an earplug to put in your ear that relieves some of the pressure. So there was a way out. But then complication, ANA. Just decided to cancel the flight because now they don't fly direct to London because they've decided they can't be bothered to do that anymore. So I've been looking at other airlines and that even got really complicated.
KLM?
KLM, in the end,
Air France?
I had a genius idea. I settled for Brussels. I was going to fly to Brussels. I was going to get the Eurostar, take that to Ashford in Kent, not far from where
closed, isn't it, mate? Ashford Kent closed, isn't it?
And is it? Is it actually?
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Anyway,
yeah,
I didn't get
anymore.
That far down the plan, so don't worry. Because it turned out, if you're coming from Japan, you can't, and you live in Japan, you can't get into Brussels easily because Brussels and Japan don't have a good relationship at the moment. Brussels basically decided in October last year that because Japan's being a bit shit with the way it lets people into Japan, Brussels was going to reciprocate that and basically put Japan on a list that made it a little bit difficult to get in if you live or come from Japan. And I hit all these other issues. So the Eurostar was out the window. So in the end, I was like, you know what? I'll go to Brussels. I'll book a British Airways flight. I'll fly to Heathrow or Gatwick and I'll live happily ever after. Went to book that flight. And because British Airways is shit, their website didn't work and I couldn't book the flight.
Yeah.
At this point, I then had to book Brussels Air. But I just spent the entire day just nursing my painful ear, trying to book 400 flights and work out strategically how to fucking come back to the UK. And it's just making me want to tear my hair out. And all the while, all I'm thinking is, you know, what if my ear just explodes on the plane? Not literally like a dodgy mobile phone battery. But like,
what,
you know, I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that. So my trip to the UK, it's gone from the thing that I've been excited about for months to a great source of stress and terror. And that's before I even get to see you, you know. That's the real terror.
Oh, no. Disastrous. Never mind. But look, you'll get here. We'll have a good time. We'll go podcast show. I'll interview you like I do every fucking week.
Can't wait, Pete.
And then we'll have a bloody beer.
And that podcast show's on the 25th, right?
The interview is going to be taking place on the 25th, the Wednesday. Get there on your calendar, Chris.
Yes, sir. Just pop over. Come and see us at the show. I've yet to promote it on Twitter. I'm rubbish. But I will. I'll definitely promote it. All right.
Yeah. All right.
But that's my week. It's been a bit of a rough week. And man, just living with like one ear that doesn't work, it's kind of unpleasant. I don't know how people do this. We got a story from Jake this week who begins, "Hello, Chris and Pete. About 20 years ago, I was 9 years old and living on a US military base when we had a group of foreign soldiers show up for a year of training, like you do. Among them was a Japanese soldier and he brought his family with him, which included his 9-year-old son. We bonded over Pokemon and baseball. We soon became the best of friends. We played his virtual baseball game, which for the year 2000 was seriously high-tech stuff. We played Pokemon. We went to a couple of professional baseball games together. Our friendship, the food his family made for me, and the toys he gave me spurred a lifelong interest in Japan. Once he left, we unfortunately fell out of touch. And fast forward 20 years, I find out I'm heading to Japan for 5 months of work. I decided to see if I can look him up, as I thought a meetup would be quite fun. I searched for him on Facebook and found someone with the exact same name. Success, I think to myself, as I send the message. The next day, I see a message in my inbox. As I read it, my heart sank. It wasn't him. I thanked him for his time and told him that I would not bother him anymore. He then tells me that while he's not my friend, he does have a second cousin with the exact same name as him, but he's never met him and he doesn't have his contact information. What the hell's that? I thought it was hard getting a plane to London. This is even more complicated, Jake. He then proceeds to help me for the next 2 days. And after much searching, he finally gets my friend's father's contact information. He sends the father an email with me copied in, and the father responds. He remembered my family and I fondly, and even sent some pictures he had of us. He gets me in touch. He gets in touch with me, and after emailing back and forth, we set up a meetup. And after 20 years, I finally got to see my friend again and meet his wife. We then proceeded to get drunk at a yakitori skewered chicken restaurant and go down memory lane together. Thank you guys for all the content. Jake, and he's attached two nice photos of himself and his good friend there from 20 years ago and the present day. And Jake is considerably taller than his friend by a factor of two. Yeah. But what a lovely friendship, what a lovely story, and what a strange coincidence. Like, seriously.
He was much taller even back then, to be fair.
He
looks at it like Jake's 9-year-old self looks like he's got a human, grown human man's body, but he's got a child's head. It's amazing. Honestly, you know when like life gets you down, you're having a shitty week, you know, you've got a perforated eardrum and ANA have cancelled your flight and all that jazz. Just hearing this story just makes everything okay, I think it's fair to say. Getting pissed 20 years later at a yakitori restaurant, hanging out with someone you've not seen for that length of time. It's beautiful. I love it. I bloody love that.
I just put a smile on my face. I like that. I there was a real plot twist there. The fact that I can't believe that he found a guy with the exact name. He's like, that's not me. No. But I do have a second cousin with the exact same name. I've never met him. Like, that is just such a weirdly bizarre coincidence. And I love that. What a beautiful story. We should turn it into a short film.
Beautiful.
Turn it into a short film and sell it to the masses. We've got a story this week about population plummeting. Over to you, Pete. What's the story?
Well, we all, like, almost every week there's a little news story, or we mention at least the fact that Japan's population is plummeting. But good God, biggest drop on record, 640,000 people in 2021.
Jesus.
Now, like that sounds very much like COVID related, but their COVID death figures just haven't really been up there, to be honest. The population dipped for the 11th consecutive year. The overall population fell as deaths exceeded births by 609,000 people, and people who moved out of the country outnumbered those who moved in by 35,000 people. The natural population decline accelerated by over 100,000 people. Tokyo's population shrank for the first time in 26 years, possibly due to COVID restrictions, people working from home, falling by 38,000 to 14.01 million. And pretty much every other prefecture except Okinawa posted a fall. So maybe everyone went to Okinawa for holidays and just never left, which is incredible. Look, I mean, we've spoken about this before. The proportion of people aged 15 to 64 stood at a record low of 59.4%, and those aged 65 or older hit a record high of 28.9%. 14 or under accounted for a record low 11.8%. So it's moving in one direction, but I think even the Japanese administrative heads must be even surprised at how quickly it's all kind of happening, I suppose.
It is a serious concern. You know, like, who the hell's gonna pay for all the pensions of all the elderly in a few years? You know, this is going to really become a big issue in 10, 15, 20 years' time. The number of foreign nationals living in Japan also fell by 25,000 to 2.7 million because of the tighter border restrictions. As we know, it's been near impossible actually coming here, both as a tourist and also as someone with a job lined up or as a student as well. The country's been shut entirely. It just seems a bit... this sort of ties into my frustration that the country's still sort of shut. And what we talked about at the start of the podcast, how now's the time, get people in, you know. I know COVID's still a thing, but like, I'm so fatigued with it. And I feel like the rest of the world's sort of moved on, but Japan hasn't. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I know we read out an article, must have been a year ago, but statistically it was believed that 250,000 like immigrants were needed every year to try and plug this hole that's happening. Mm. But yeah, someone asked me on Twitter just this evening, like, how's Japan's economy looking for the future? And it's hard to feel optimistic. You know, I don't think Japan's going to collapse anytime soon, but, you know, things work here and people work very hard and there's a sense of order. But I don't know, I don't feel overly optimistic for the future here, not just because of this falling population and the fact that successive governments just don't seem to care, because it's just easier to kick the can down the road, so to speak, and let someone deal with it in 10 years. We'll just carry on as it is now. You know, to be fair, if I was a politician, I think I'd probably be the same. You know, I don't really see many solutions here. Shall we let the whole world, shall we let all the foreigners come in? That's probably not going to go down well here. There'd be too much concerns about the culture changing and becoming sort of, you know, multicultural. That wouldn't be very popular. I think people would rather the population just continue to shrink, unfortunately. And also businesses in Japan, you know, you continue to see old businesses that sort of helped prop up the country and the export powerhouse that made Japan, like companies like Toshiba, Panasonic, Sony, a lot of them, Sharp, are all sort of embattled in just like in the face of competition from China or South Korea or Taiwan. They're not doing a great job, and being closed to the whole world for 2 years has just made that problem worse. So yeah, I don't feel overly optimistic. That's the sad truth.
I guess it's two. We've spoken about it before, but like the two techniques of closing up and just, you know, making sure that not as much COVID can get around. You're left with kind of the same situation 2-3 years down the line. Even if you're vaccinated, COVID can still take hold. It just lockdowns don't halt anything. They just delay anything. Delay the infection. But said. How much do you value fucking human life? So it probably was, in retrospect, the right thing to do, because at the end of the day, your residents aren't dying. So if you have to sort of shut down the country for 4 years, that's kind of the decision that's been made. So, you know, it's a real shame, and it sucks, a big old load of rubbish, but Hopefully, there will now, a lot of vaccines have been smashed into arms, that there'll be a bit more kind of flexibility in the next few months. I'm not holding out hope for that. Hope against hope, so to speak, because it's, you know what they've been like thus far, and there's a healthy dose of racism in there as well.
Well, I did read a report that a lot of the tourism companies, like big companies like JTB, Japan's hosting like the tourism, some sort of tourism event in like September, and it'd be pretty ironic if the country's not at, like, one of like 10 countries that's not open to tourists or is just shut. You know, Japan is in a very small minority of countries that is. There remains to be closed, but they were all optimistic that Japan would be open by September. I think maybe June or July is on the cards. I don't know, really. We talk about this a lot, but...
We've said it so many times.
I'm
hearing good things about September.
It's the only thing, like, people really need to know, you know? But somebody said something interesting on Twitter that somebody said they keep rebooking their flights to Japan because they're free to cancel. And while Japan remains closed, the price of flights is pretty cheap. And the moment Japan opens, the price of airline tickets is probably going to double or go up. So, my philosophy has been to tell people, don't book a flight, don't bother. But actually, might be worth it.
Probably a good idea to... But can you be asked to keep moving it all the time, you know?
Well, I feel this year more than any other, now that 50% of the population's boosted, that... It is on the cards, and they really need that money. They need those billions of dollars coming in to prop up the businesses that have been stuffed for the last 2 years. So I'm optimistic. I'd say book a flight for September. Worst case, you cancel it or postpone it. But because it is free to do that at the moment for most airlines, then you can reap the benefits. Because when it opens, you can bet your bottom dollar that airline ticket prices are going to rocket up very quickly. So get booking. But don't hold me to it if it goes wrong. I don't want to be held accountable for that. That's the philosophy. That's my story of my life. We'll be back, guys, in just a moment with the fax machine. Your comments, stories, and questions.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Hello, Chris and Pete. From Long Island, NY, which I believe is New York. We recently found your YouTube channel and we really enjoy how informative and entertaining your videos are, but we still have one question for you. We know that each word in Japanese is represented by a unique character. So how do keyboards work in Japan? Do you tap multiple keys at the same time for one character? Thanks for your time and keep up the great work, Donna and Danny. Chris, I love the way you type hiragana, katakana, and kanji into a Roman sized keyboard. I find that fascinating. Like, you just sort of go for the letter that represents the sound you're trying to make, mix that together, and then it sort of somehow figures out you're writing a particular kanji. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty intuitive. It's really easy, actually. For example, let's take a really simple sentence like ramen or tabetai. You know, you would type that into the keyboard, like ramen or wo, taberu, tabetai, tabetai. Yeah. Just type it in, like letter by letter, and then it just appears on the screen in the kanji characters. So it's really easy, and it's very dangerous because I only use computer mediated text to write Japanese these days. I've forgotten how to write the characters because in everyday life, you don't really need to write that much Japanese out, which is why they do put a lot of emphasis on writing and education and everyday life here, because they don't want you to forget it. But yeah, really easy. Yeah. You just type the word out and the computer sort of guesses what you're trying to type. And if it's a word where it could be something else, like it could be different kanji characters, you sort of hit the space bar and you get a little drop-down menu of other sort of variations of that word, right? and you just go down the space bar, tap it until you get the exact word that you want. So very intuitive and very sort of easy.
Yeah.
But I'd never thought about that before I came here. We got one here from Harry. It says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, your podcast has kept me motivated through my final year of university and has drawn me, drew me into planning a cycle route from Sapporo to Kagoshima. With Chris being the athletic god we all know him for, definitely, in his own cycle across Japan, it felt worth asking, what was your own favourite prefecture to cycle through and what was the least? On top of that, what advice would you give to your past self attempting the journey in the future? Much appreciated, guys. Harry, a couch potato attempting to exercise for once." I mean, that'll be one hell of a route. Presumably, you're going to get a ferry from Sapporo to Aomori, unless you can rig up your bike into some sort of boat and sail across the Tsugaru Strait and do something very fun there. Well done, Harry. But no, I honestly, best place, worst place. Worst place was Niigata, just because there's nothing there. Like, as I talked about with Jerry a few weeks ago when he came on the podcast, on Journey Across Japan, all the challenges were about, like, things to do in the local area. Like, with Pete, I think we... To be fair, it wasn't very local, but we tried to find our way to Kyoto using a paper map. It was a shit show. But for Joey, in Niigata, we had nothing, like, local that was interesting. So we had to really be creative, and we did all sorts of weird challenges, like make a commercial or pimp our bike. It became about the journey rather than any of the destinations we were going through. So I didn't really like Niigata for that reason. Best place to cycle, probably around the Inland Sea. So straight after I'd got rid of Pete Donaldson and his shenanigans with Kobe Beef, I cycled around Okayama and Hiroshima and Yamaguchi. And that whole stretch around the Inland Sea is really beautiful, if you pick the right time of year anyway. So yeah, that whole area, it'll be the highlight of your trip, to be honest. But make sure you pick the right month to do this cycle. Do it in September, October, or November.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the paper map was a shit show because it was bloody raining. And the natural enemy of the paper map is water. It was a bloody disaster. Got a message here from Malika. Hello, Malika. Hey, Chris and Pete. I'm from the UK, from England, the South. Well, begrudging me from Luton. Born and bred here. Right now, it's Ramadan. I'm fasting, dying of exams and tiredness. Just got one question. How are Muslims' life in Japan? Are they discriminated against badly? P.S. Have you guys ever tried fasting? If you haven't, it would be interesting for you guys to try it, or if you have, how was it? I am always blown away from how my Muslim friends manage to fucking get through days fasting. I just cannot. I can imagine getting through half the day, and like my mates sort of say that it's not about like the weakness, it's not about this, it's not about that, it's just that like my old mate was like, my breath just fucking stinks. My breath just fucking stinks after a day of not eating. Like, you just started sort of, and you just feel like crap, and your mouth just feels so dry and like and tasteless, and oh man. And my heart and my hat is going out to everyone who's fasting at the moment. It's an astonishing discipline.
I can do it,
and I can't believe that's part and parcel of your year every year. It's incredible. What dedication and devotion.
How long is it for? It's about a month or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a month, I think, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's a month.
I'd be down if I could do it. I mean, Muslim population in Japan is pretty low. There's quite a few folks from Malaysia and Indonesia and sort of Tokyo. I don't know. I don't know if I know any Muslims living in Japan. There's a really good documentary series made by Greg, Life Where I'm From, where he did a sort of mini series on it, on what it's like living in Japan as a Muslim. But I don't know. I think it's probably a lot easier in Tokyo, where there are everything's in place to live comfortably as a Muslim in Japan, in terms of diet and whatnot. Whereas other cities like Sendai, probably a little bit more difficult. So that's my advice there. But check out Greg's series; it's really, really damn good.
Definitely. I think, obviously, we're recording this a few days early, so everyone's fasting at the moment. I believe Eid will be either today or tomorrow. Have a good time, guys. Have a fucking good party.
Keep up the good work. I don't know if I could ever do that. I kind of want to try. Can I join?
I left my spectacles on in a taxi recently, so I'm very much I'm very much in the situation where I have to wear my sunglasses everywhere, so I don't actually know when sunset is, because just everything, sunset and sunrise, is kind of the same for me. Everything's kind of a bit dark for me all day. I'm trying to get some new spectacles. I need some spectacles.
So you're gonna life hack. You're gonna hack your way around the fasting rules, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Very sinister indeed. I don't know. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll be right back here, do it over again, on the Brawn Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.